News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
And it is the 10-year anniversary of Brexit, and one of the people who was involved, deeply involved, in the negotiations and planning for what at the time seemed like a potential catastrophe for the Irish economy was former Taoiseach then Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade with responsibility for Brexit, Simon Coveney, who is with us this morning. Before we get into the impact of Brexit, one of the people that you would have been dealing with who had concerns about the Northern Ireland Protocol, particularly at that time, was Geoffrey Donaldson. What was your reaction to the revelations about Donaldson, that, or rather the verdict about Donaldson?
Well, I mean, the whole thing is shocking, isn't it? You know, it doesn't really get much worse than being convicted of what he's been convicted of. Like, I've spent a lot of time with Geoffrey Donaldson, actually, during the Brexit years, trying to effectively build a relationship with the DUP, with Geoffrey Donaldson and his predecessors, in the context of Brexit, because we had to try and find accommodation for all parties in Northern Ireland and address concerns. But yeah, I mean, I think the fact that, you know, in many ways, former colleagues of Geoffrey Donaldson are almost kind of short for words. You know, people don't even want to comment. It's just so awful. So yeah, look, I mean, you know, I'm glad the law has taken its course. What he's been convicted of are horrific crimes. And of course, my thoughts, like everybody else, are with the victims of those crimes. And but yeah, it's shocking that you think you know somebody, at least professionally, and then you find out really extraordinary things about them that through the legal and court system, I would never, you know, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, have even contemplated that he could have been convicted of these crimes, but. But that's the reality.
And we move on. Egregiously reprehensible. Yes, and sentencing, of course, to happen in a number of months. Yeah. We will move on to the issue of Brexit. At the time, there was a sense that this might be a complete catastrophe for both us and the UK. In the 10 years since, is the assessment fair that it has been a catastrophe for the UK, but not as bad as might have been expected for us?
I mean, I think that's a fair description. You know, I think there are very few people in the UK today that would claim with any data behind those claims that Brexit has been a success for the UK. I mean, it's hard to know the impact of Brexit, of the war in Ukraine, of global inflation and so on. But I mean, if you compare what's happened to Ireland versus what's happened to the UK in terms of economic growth, GDP, trade numbers, it's hard to, you know, look, I mean, I'm trying to be balanced here. I mean, it's hard not to draw the conclusion that what Britain hoped to achieve out of Brexit has not materialised. Their influence in the world, I think, is weaker now. Their ambitions to control their own borders don't seem to have worked in the context of blaming the EU and free movement for much of that challenge. Their capacity to do trade deals with other parts of the world to compensate for the damage done on trade between the UK and its by far its largest market, the rest of Europe, hasn't worked and isn't going to work.
I think their own Treasury Department reflects that. I mean, they put the numbers in at around 6%, which I think is 200 to 300 billion in net impact.
Yeah, I mean, look, absolutely. So, you know, the GDP in the UK is probably 6 to 8% below what it otherwise would have been. That's the conservative estimate coming from the British government. Productivity and employment in the UK is probably 3 to 4% below what it otherwise would have been. Investment in the UK is 12 to 18%. Below what it otherwise would have been. And of course, Britain's exports to the EU and imports from the EU are probably 15% below where they otherwise would be. And that's Britain's largest trading market. So, you know, it's not a surprise that that economic growth in the UK is struggling. And of course, you've seen the strain on that politically in the, you know, because of that in the UK as well. I mean, I don't believe that the British political system has really recovered from just how divisive Brexit was across the UK. I mean, the country was literally split down the middle. I mean, since that decision, just to give you a sense, one of the most stable democracies in the world has had 7 prime ministers, 8 chancellors, 9 foreign secretaries, 8 secretaries of state for Northern Ireland. They had about 8 Brexit negotiators as well through 6 years or so of negotiation. And that was the turnover and the churn, which was driven by political tension and division and infighting.
And can you see stability on the horizon, or can you see a route to stability? Because one of the things that a lot of analysts would say when they look at the incoming reign of likely to be Andy Burnham is that he has an almost impossible task ahead of him, and he has a populace that are absolutely and utterly disenfranchised from the political system and cynical about it.
Well, look, I would never underestimate Britain's capacity to find stability. You know, Britain is a great country. You know, we've had a very complex history with the UK, not least through the Brexit years. Lots of tension, lots of disagreement, but they are our closest neighbour. But they're also one of the great countries of the world.
Still?
I think Britain internationally now in terms of influence is a sort of a middle power. But it's a strong economy. It's a country that is central to European security and defence. It's a very proud country with an extraordinary history, good and bad. I do think that the British political system has the capacity to find stability. But certainly at the moment, politics in Britain is very fragmented. We're reminded of that, of course. You know, yesterday, Keir Starmer, who, by the way, is a great friend of Ireland, stepping down as British Prime Minister, and will, you know, almost certainly now be replaced by Andy Burnham, who is also, a friend of Ireland. You know, coming from Liverpool and Manchester, he knows the Irish mindset pretty well. I think he's somebody who'll be close to the Irish government, someone who we can work with, but also I think somebody who we need to support in the context of Britain getting closer to the EU which I think would be good for Britain and also good for the EU.
What's the prospect of that, and what does that look like? Because Andy Burnham personally has described his own personal desire to have the UK return to the EU membership, but he says that in real political terms there isn't a sniff of it occurring.
Well, I think there's not a likely chance of Britain applying to rejoin the European Union anytime soon. That's a different thing, though, from Britain getting closer to the EU. So, you know, Keir Starmer was working towards a big summit next month with EU leaders, which has just been postponed now to give new leadership a chance to bed in. But that summit was supposed to try to make some big steps forward in the context of both sides giving a little, but to try to reduce trade barriers, to try to move towards, for example, a veterinary agreement that could allow for a significant reduction in checks on food and food-related products coming in and out of the EU, including Ireland, from Great Britain. The UK was also going to look at allowing EU students to enter UK universities, at much lower cost. So, like, there was, and of course, we're seeing a lot more cooperation between the UK and the EU on common security and defence issues, and that's been ongoing for quite some time, driven by the war in Ukraine. So, you know, my overall impression here is that, despite the fact that in many ways we were convulsed as two governments in terms of trying to resolve what was a really difficult series of challenges thrown up by Brexit in the context of the peace process, border infrastructure, trade, protecting Ireland's place in the EU single market, you know, all of the things that people would have heard me talking about endlessly 10 years ago. In some ways, many of those issues look relatively trivial in the context of the scale of what's happening in the world today.
Well, can I ask you about that? Because you're
and
now
that's where I think European vulnerability,
well, is what I wanted to move
including
to
the UK, I think is going to pull the UK and the EU closer together.
You're currently working with EY Ireland's geopolitical strategy team. One of the things that we saw around the Brexit vote was an increase in that level of mutual suspicion across parts of the EU, mutual resentments, the fomenting of the sort of culture wars around particularly immigration. To what extent is that still going on? To what extent is it a threat? And to what extent is it being deliberately driven? Because we overtly see people like Elon Musk piling into European and EU political arguments, deliberately trying to create division. Are we also seeing state and non-state actors doing it quietly?
Yes, I think is the answer to that question. You know, I think democracy is facing extraordinary challenges at the moment. And, you know, that sounds like a very lofty statement, but I'm talking about politics across the Western world as we would know it, is being challenged by a combination of things, populism, conflict around the world, climate, technology that's changing at a pace that policymakers and politicians simply can't keep up with. And of course, we're seeing pretty cynical actors as part of that mix, coming from parts of the world that traditionally would have been trying to undermine democracy, but now also coming from parts of the world that we would regard as friends. So, these are extraordinary challenges, which in some ways are pulling Europe together in terms of... Yes, I think so. You know, I mean, if you look at what happened in Hungary, for example, a number of months ago, you know, people voted in huge numbers for a government that was looking away from populism, that wanted to actually see their government get closer to Brussels and to a collective EU approach towards security, defence, economic growth, innovation. And you're hearing Europe talking about a new independence, a new strategic autonomy, so that we don't have to rely on other parts of the world, even parts of the world that would traditionally have been friends and allies. Europe is now looking to stand on its own two feet because of... Now, I mean, by the way, this isn't all good, right? And from an Irish point of view, given the fact that we're the most globalised economy in the European Union, and arguably one of the most globalised economies in the world, we want to still see relationships with other parts of the world, particularly from a transatlantic point of view, that can drive economic growth in the future.
Let me go back to where we started. 10 years of Brexit. If 10 years ago you had been approached and told we would be where we are now a decade on when you were handling those negotiations, would you be happy with this outturn?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, if you look at some of the stats, I mean, Ireland's response to Brexit in many ways, and I'm not talking about the government, I'm talking about business people, I'm talking about political parties and so on, has been extraordinary. You know, Ireland's GDP has doubled in that time. You know, Ireland's employment has gone to 2.8 million people. Now, there's probably 500,000 people more at work today than when Brexit happened, or certainly when people voted for Brexit. You know, we're seeing our trade with the United Kingdom that many people thought would collapse has held up. We have a trade relationship that's worth over $120 billion a year with the UK, and we've also expanded trade with the rest of the world. So Ireland has responded and coped well. The peace process is still hanging in there. And you know, Northern Ireland, strangely, has been the fastest growing region in the United Kingdom since Brexit, which shows that a connection with the EU and its single market makes sense from an economic and trade perspective.
Simon Coveney, thank you very much.
Anytime. Thanks, Anton.
Simon Coveney, former Taoiseach, the Minister for Foreign Affairs and Trade, and now consultant with EY Ireland's geopolitical strategy team.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.